from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Globe Life Field, which is excellent because it gives us an opportunity to chat with the Tolos and the Twolos who are stopping by, but also boo fans of the Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen any Pirates fan. Let's try this again. I haven't seen any children yet that are Pirates fans, but when they were Astros fans, I booed them for sure.
That's probably, I mean, for appropriate reasons.
Yeah.
They cheated to win a World Series and probably cheated to win another one, so go ahead and they deserve the booze.
But they're representing our Texas, our state of Texas in the playoffs.
No, I saw your text yesterday. It was like, oh, state of Texas.
Texas is going to make the playoffs.
Hell
again.
No.
Not ours. You're not going to
be serious. You're not rooting for the Astros, are you?
Oh, my God.
Who are they playing?
If they're in the playoffs and the Rangers are not.
No. But it's good.
Listen
to this.
Him?
Listen to this, though. It's good when those teams make the playoffs, because you either watch because you like or you hate. And when the Astros are in, it does draw eyes because people want to see them lose.
Are you going to watch because you hate them?
I will watch because of baseball. I'll be in Italy okay. for the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, he already planned
that's
that.
Right.
Like, he was like, so yeah,
changed
let's go
my
ahead
vacation.
And do it.
So I'm probably not going to watch too much baseball for some of the playoffs. I'll miss kind of the divisional, but then I'll come back for the ALCS, and most likely it'll be the Astros versus the winner of the Baltimore New York series.
Are you telling me? So you're telling me you're going to go to Italy and not watch any baseball?
Let me ask you this.
You're going to be in the most Italy, romantic.
I'm sure they have TVs
the
if that's going to be your question.
Beautiful scenery, and you're not going to go find
is it just
a bar.
You and your wife?
You're not going to find a bar and
yeah,
watch some baseball.
Much.
What? I'm sorry. Hold on. Corey, my question was, is it just you and your
and
wife?
He said, yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. What does that mean?
Well, very handsome Italian men there.
There's a couple other couple friends that are going
okay.
with us.
Oh, okay. So at those times you'll be with them.
Okay.
And then
so
for
we'll,
the most time.
Yeah. If she still wants to go with me, I'm not even sure if she does. But
hey, let me know.
But
how
in
it
Italy,
is.
I don't know. Do they put baseball games on TV? They don't seem to like baseball.
I'm not sure.
I'm just assuming there's
sure
a lot, whole bunch
American
of Italian cooking shows on, and they're teaching you how to make your own pasta.
Do you think everywhere you're going to go, it's going to be like
every house he walks by, there's going to be some old lady making a marinara sauce somewhere.
Your skin and bones.
And Mike's going to walk around and crack some. He's going to break some spaghetti, and everybody's going to freak out.
Yeah, more ravioli.
Oh my gosh!
I'm hoping to meet Chef Boyardee while I'm there.
Let me know, because for Adrian asked the other day for our 20th anniversary. Should we go to Italy or Greece? So let me know how much you like it. I appreciate that.
You've been married almost 20 years?
Almost 20 years. I'm on 18 right now.
Congratulations.
This is our 18th year, man. It's wild. And I still like her.
So
she's my lover.
The question was,
all right,
the five breakout quarterbacks for the NFL this season.
Brock Purdy.
Now, hold on.
That's good. Interesting.
I have a question for you because I've already seen this come in a couple of times. Jordan Love. Has Jordan Love broken out, or do you think he's still in that category?
Yes, but I think he can be the MVP of the NFL this year.
Oh, and that would be a significant breakout.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I made a list of five, but have four because I think I'm wondering this. Did C.J. Stroud break out, or can he break out?
And I
think the expectations on him are so high.
Yeah.
I think they're very high.
I think anything short of maybe an MVP-esque year, people are going to be like, what happened to this guy? I think C.J. Stroud broke out more than Jordan Love.
It's wild because last year, early in the season, the way the season started for him, it was even the Texans fans were going, look, we know what we're up for. We have a new quarterback. We're still rebuilding.
Yeah.
And we're going to lose some. And then all of a sudden they go on this tear. They were unassuming. They were one of those teams.
That surprise factor.
Yeah, but, yeah. And they were also in a division that just wasn't – nobody really wanted to take a hold of. So I think numbers-wise, he could definitely break out some more and just show that it wasn't a fluke last year, a weird rookie season. But I have Kevin.
Okay, tell me the rest.
Jordan Love on my list.
Okay.
I do have, and they're all the rest of them are rookies after Stroud.
Okay.
But I have Stroud, and then I have Bo Nix.
Yes.
And then I have Caleb Williams. I think he's going to break out. I think he has three fantastic receiving weapons there for him, and he also has a really good running game there, as well as it's just kind of a matter of can they be organized as a football team. And you haven't seen that out of Eberflus's football teams yet. And I think Jaden Daniels is going to have a good rookie season. And then we're going to be kind of going, oh, crap, we're in this for the next few years against Washington.
Who has Dak Prescott never beaten his career, preseason or regular season?
Are you going to say Trevor Lawrence? He's going to say Trevor Lawrence.
So think about this. You guys are naming people that had very good years last year.
Or rookies, yeah.
Or Trevor Lawrence didn't. So I do think if he wins that division and he throws for – I know that sometimes this can get – because winning a game is more important than yards. And that
sure.
But if he's throwing for approximately 300 yards a game and they end up winning, let's say, 11 games, they go 11-6 –
we're booing the Pittsburgh.
No, man.
No.
I like his jersey.
What are you doing?
But I can't support the Pirates. It's a cool throwback
jersey.
He's
a baseball fan. He's coming to a day baseball game. Congratulations.
It's a Willie Stargell jersey.
Yeah,
so
Willie Stargell.
Cool.
Okay.
It's not like he's rooting on for any
but
of the current Pirates.
I do think Trevor Lawrence can be a breakout player this year. Isn't he down on everybody's list?
You know what? Fine. Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, hold on. Actually, hold on to that thought. Because you might have just opened the pathway for one of my suggestions. Does Deshaun Watson count in this?
No.
Since the end of the 2020 season, he has played 12 games. It feels like people have given up on him.
He's eligible for comeback player, Kevin, rules.
Okay, but we're not going to have
not
a re-breakout?
Not a re-breakout. Like that with Aaron Rodgers, I would venture to say, and I guess you could say this with Deshaun Watson, he hasn't broken out with the Jets yet. So maybe Deshaun Watson can break out with the Browns for the first time.
I saw somebody text this in. Does Will Levis do anything for you? Because you got Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd to go along with DeAndre Hopkins. So there are some older players there, but it feels like they kind of tried.
I've always thought Tennessee's game is just a little boring. And maybe it's because they had Derrick Henry and they could rely on that for so long and they could just hand that off. And I just felt their game was slow, their feel was slow, everything just felt a little slow. But it sounds like Hopkins is good to go. He's good to go for the season.
Yeah.
Maybe, as Mike's pointed out, Hopkins spent his entire career with nobodies at quarterback and was able to have a fantastic career. So maybe he can make Will Levis into something. I don't know that it's necessarily there yet.
I won't say nobody organizations.
No, well,
does that make sense?
His quarterbacks in Houston were always miserable. Yeah. It was until he got with Kyler, and then even with Kyler, it was kind of up and down.
They had a good 11-game start, then he got hurt, and they got hurt. Will Levis, to me, is just – I hate saying this. This is too harsh, but he's just a nobody.
Okay.
Like, the guy they drafted.
Man.
Like, and he's a quarterback in the NFL, but I just don't – I don't see anything from Will Levis that makes me think he'll ever be considered a top 10 quarterback in this league.
Okay. Now, you brought up some of the rookies, Corey. Two of them make a whole lot of sense because they're the top two picks in the draft.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. That makes a lot of sense. And I know preseason can fool people
for better
or worse. But it does kind of feel like maybe Bo Nix could turn out to be a quality pick. Tell me more about why you went with Bo Nix, because I'm definitely intrigued by that.
Well, I mean, he did play with Cortland Sutton, and just watching the connection he had with them. But then he's throwing to Patrick. Patrick's a really talented receiver as well. That's somebody you're going to have to deal with. The offense looks like it's starting to flow a little bit. You also have, I think, a very brilliant mind when it comes to calling plays for your quarterback. If the quarterback can make the throws, I think in last year, Russell Wilson refused to do it on a lot of occasions. Also, do you buy in that last year they were already had a plan to get rid of Russell Wilson, like
yes.
That whole idea?
Yes, I do.
And then they did at the end of the year. So I feel like that last year I don't think that Sean Payton gave – you know, truly connected with Wilson, nor did he want to do that. He wanted to find a quarterback, and I think he found a guy that he believes is not necessarily a Drew Brees type, but a guy that can do the things that he's asked to do within that offense, and I think Sean Payton and him are going to connect really well.
Let's go to the fan text here from the 214 and the 817. Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson, respectively.
Oh, my gosh.
What's
Is this Daniel Jones' brother? Who are you?
It's a 214 area code. I'm not sure.
It might be Kay Adams. You
Anthony
know?
Richardson, fine. We don't. He's an unknown.
Yeah.
So maybe. Daniel Jones. Will Levis is a Hall of Famer compared to Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I just don't ever believe, as much as I like Dable, I won't ever believe that Daniel Jones is going to be a legitimately good quarterback. And Kevin, I take that back to my guy who's been my quarterback guru all this time.
Yeah.
When he was watching him in the combine, he was like, I just don't like the way he throws. It looks like he has to put everything he can into throwing the ball downfield.
Who's this?
The guy that I know that he's named off a few quarterbacks in combine that have hit, and I'm like, okay, I'll trust you on this.
And he's saying Anthony will or will not?
No, Daniel Jones.
Oh, Daniel Jones.
He was like, he never liked Daniel Jones.
I need
to look more into Anthony Richardson, though, because
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We saw some explosive plays from him last year, but we didn't get to see enough of his failures. Yeah, we didn't get to see enough of the failures, and if he could correct those mistakes.
When Daniel Jones goes back to Duke and gets his MBA, I will hire him as my financial advisor. That guy is a great thinker, I bet. Stinks as a quarterback. And we all knew it.
Yeah.
We all knew when they stupidly made the playoffs. We were like, these morons are going to give this guy a contract,
and they're
going to regret it after week one. And they've regretted it after week one. They're like, he stinks. What moron ever thought he could play football?
I'm not going to argue that
whatsoever. I think it was Jason Garrett. Who you should never listen to Jason Garrett on those things.
I got two more for you that popped into my head, and obviously, Mike, I know you will veto one of them. What about Justin Fields and Bryce Young?
You know what? If you made me pick who's going to have a better next, let's say, 3 years, I might have to lean towards Bryce Young.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to really ever give Justin Fields. I don't think any team's ever going to give Justin Fields the keys to a team again.
Okay.
Where Bryce Young, I think at least this next year, 100%.
Sure.
It's your team. Let's see what you can do. And they will probably even roll with it for one more year.
Yeah.
But at least he has that opportunity. I don't even think Justin Fields is going to get the opportunity to ever be a real starting quarterback again.
Yeah, I think Justin Fields needs to be rebooted. Whenever he drops back, watching him right now, he doesn't look like he wants to attack downfield. Doesn't look like he can see it, and he knows he can run. And so it's the Vince Young thing. I know I can take off. I don't need to throw the ball because I can take off and pick up the first down. And I just don't. I think he needs to be rebooted in playing the position of quarterback.
I thought those were the last two I had. I was wrong.
Penix.
I have one more for you. Cut number five, if you will, Alec. Could this quarterback be a breakout this season?
Darnold's lofting it toward the end zone, and it's caught! Robbie Anderson makes the reception.
What? What's happening? Did you walk away because that highlight I played? Hey, I got spots. Come on down. They just walked away. Mike and Corey just walked away. Because they hated the question about Sam Darnold. It was just a question. I didn't say he's definitely. I was about to give your spots away. This is about to be a radio host for the day giveaway. You walked away because of that highlight?
I'll never believe in Sam Darnold. Yes, the only way, Kevin, that he will have a breakout year is, hey, you know what? I got no other options but to put the ball up in the air and throw it to Justin Jefferson every time. I don't think the dude, he can't play the position, in my mind. Now, maybe Kevin O'Connell, that's their coach, right? Maybe he can help, you know, just like he did with Kirk Cousins. But I'll never believe in Sam Darnold, Kevin, on, what is it, this is like fifth chance?
Hey,
fifth chance?
I was just asking.
At halftime, who's their head coach?
Kevin O'Connell.
He's going, I'm getting fired. That's going to be his halftime thoughts, where he's like, I am getting fired as soon as this season is over, and I don't even know if I'm going to make it that far with Sam Darnold. And then they're going to be like, I don't know. If you would have said the name Zach Wilson, I would have thought you're saying the same name.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're horrible.
He's going to continue getting chances because of where he was picked in the draft.
That's it.
But he's never going to live up to the expectation.
All right. So what I just learned is I'll listen to anyone on that list except for Sam Darnold. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Globe Life Field. Coming up next, we're going to bring you an expressway, which means we'll talk with Jared Sandler, but also what would be the best and absolute worst NFL division this season. 877-881-1053. Let's do that next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Globe Life Field, but we're still bringing you the expressway. We're going to talk with Jared Sandler at some point in this segment, but I want to start with this, and there's a couple of reasons for this. What do you think will be the best and then the absolute worst division in football this year? One of the reasons that this came up was because of Mr. Baker Mayfield.
Oh.
Now, Mr. Baker Mayfield said this division, talking about the NFC South, obviously it's going to continue to improve. Everybody wants to hate on the NFC South. But it's a competitive division. And so I was thinking a lot about our discussions about, hey, could the Falcons win the division by default? And, like, just things like that. And so I wanted to pick y'all's brains about the hierarchy of the NFL divisions this season.
So he's saying the South will
come
to prominence
at some point.
you're saying like the South will.
No, I know what you're saying. Yes, I understand.
Will be a prominent division.
We'll be like bread again.
Well,
I
mean, Kevin, because the AFC South is also bad. So he's saying that not only the NFC South, but also the AFC South. So both Souths can rise to the occasion.
Two Souths.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what Baker said, Kevin. Okay. That's kind of what I'm gathering.
I don't know if we want to put that on him either.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so best division in football last year was...
If he doesn't like it, he'll just get in his car and drive to Oklahoma.
AFC North?
True, the AFC North. And it wasn't even particularly close. So I did the breakdown from last year. The AFC North was 43-25. That was the only division in all of football that was more than two games above 500. So whenever people are like, oh, the NFC.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. The NFC East is trash. The NFC East last year went 33-35. There's a big glut of divisions that won between 33-35 games last year. So it's kind of stacked in the middle. But the AFC North was by far the best, and the NFC South was by far the worst, 27-41.
Okay.
So that division has been awful. Sorry, Baker. I think we'll continue to be awful. But what do you guys think going into this season?
If you had to put money on it, I know I'm just asking a question on this. Do you think that the East will be better than in the NFC? The
yes.
East will be better than the South, and by how much?
Yes, I do. I would say by about four games. Because I know the Giants look terrible, but the Carolina Panthers still exist, you know? And the NFC East has way more top-end potential with the Cowboys and the Eagles than anything the NFC South can trot out. So I'd say about four games.
I think I'm with you on that. I do think the worst is going to be
the South. Yeah.
I don't know if the AFC South, though. It'll be interesting because a lot of expectation is on Houston. They went 1-5 to finish the year, and that made them 8-9 on the year. Jacksonville, they might have been 9-8.
9-8.
So 9-8, and they freaking went 1-5 to finish the year.
Yeah.
Fart knockers.
Okay, well, so think about this lineup.
I think Washington's going to be 2-3 games better than last year.
Oh, okay.
So
well, then the
when
East
I'm looking
will
at the
be
NFC
ahead for
East,
sure.
But the Giants could definitely be 2-3
sure.
games worse than last
my
year.
My opinion, 10 wins with tiebreakers will win the NFC East.
Ooh,
but I think three teams are going to be around that. I think Dallas, Washington, and Philadelphia are all going to be around 10 wins, which I think would make them better than like the AFC South.
It's interesting.
The NFC South.
Tomorrow I asked the internet. Oh. I asked the internet, Mike. Or not the internet. I asked technology.
The internet.
Oh, okay. I was intrigued by that.
I asked technology to predict the schedule for all the football teams.
Ooh,
and we'll do that tomorrow as a segment so we can kind of look at that a little bit. I think the NFC West is going to be a struggle again this year. So I think that's going to be
okay.
I think the Cardinals will be a game or two better than they were last year, if not three. I think Seattle's going to fall a little bit, but I think the Rams and the Niners are still a very difficult
combo. So you think
that's
still going to be a good division?
Absolutely.
All right, cuz when you said struggle, I was like, "Oh no,
I think it's going to be difficult for the teams in there it's going to be a battle at the end."
Then is the NFC West the next division in football, or do you think it goes a different direction? Like behind, if we all agree, do you think the AFC North is going to be the best again, or do you think maybe not?
Yeah, I lean to that.
Okay.
I mean, Chicago Bears could play a role in, because I think Green Bay and Detroit are 100% going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
So, but if Chicago is from 7-10, if they go to 10-7, doesn't that make them the best?
Yeah, and then there's Minnesota, who, it's Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I don't want you guys to walk off.
They should punt on first down just to make the game better.
You know what's crazy
is we'd never have to watch them play offense.
Last year we were talking about the AFC West, though, as the prominent one, and we were
second to worst record.
Look at how good they're going to be. And then I think this year is that year for it because I think that the Chargers are going to be better. Because Harbaugh's a coach that knows what he's doing. And I think that that Sean Payton will have the Broncos as a better team because he doesn't have Russell Wilson.
And that just shows that, like, things don't always play out to your perception, right? Not you, just people in general. AFC West last year had the second worst record in all of football.
But before the season, we were predicting that it was going to be amazing.
So, we talked about the NFC West. If I throw out the NFC North, And I think that's going to be the second best division. So your lineup goes.
You're lining a lot up on the Lions, huh?
That is true. Okay. I think the Lions look like they're going to be really good.
You said you think that Love's a breakout guy for MVP?
Oh, man, I don't know if I'm ready to take that lesson.
Okay,
I'm not ready to take that step, bud.
Okay, all right.
So you have the Lions, Packers, Vikings, and Bears versus the contingent of the 49ers, Rams, Seahawks, and Cardinals.
And all four of those North teams won 7 games last year, so... Like they,
I don't have high hopes, I guess, for Arizona.
I was talking about the...
No, I know, but I'm saying when I make that difference, I could see Minnesota figuring out a way to 7. I could see Chicago being better. I don't have high expectations for Arizona.
Just because it's Arizona and
yeah,
weird things happen
I
in the
love
desert.
Kyler Murray. I want him to be awesome. I don't know.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem they're as organized as they need to be up there.
I do feel like this. Kyler's going to be on another team next year.
Okay.
And that is going to create hype with that team. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I don't know if...
Quarterback change does that.
Yeah, and people are going to look at it. It won't be as big as when Russell Wilson went to Denver, but it's going to be like, no, we have Kyler Murray in our team, and we have a better coach, and we have a better organization. So I do think Kyler Murray, this is his last year in Arizona, but then... Whoever gets them, there's going to be a lot of hype around that team going into the 2025 season.
From the 817, the best division will be the AFC North, and the worst division will be the NFC South. And then from the 325, worst NFC South, best NFC North. All right, so it seems like...
You haven't seen anybody drop the East as one of those?
It's no.
Okay, all right.
One of the reasons I wanted to bring this, although... From the 682, AFC West will be the best this year. Raiders, Broncos, Chargers, and even the Chiefs got better. The whole reason I wanted to run through this exercise is a couple years ago, the NFC East was the best division in football. Had the best record. It wasn't even close. But people will be like, you play in the worst division in football. But not really, right? Because here's who stands out. AFC North, 43-25 last year. NFC South, 27-41. So, terrible. Every other division in football last year won between 32 and 35 games. Every single one of them. So
a lot of parity.
Yeah, there is a lot of parity in the middle of these divisions outside of at least last year, the AFC North and the NFC South. So I don't think the NFC East is going to have the worst division. I honestly don't think they're going to be close to the worst division.
Our friend Jared Sandler has joined the room. Jared, Mike earlier said that he thinks that...
Hold on, Mike just gave me this look.
He thinks that Jordan Love could win MVP this year. Do you agree or disagree with Mike Bassick's contention here?
I don't love how high everyone is on Green Bay and Jordan Love. I feel like they're a good candidate to not meet expectations.
Interesting. Like they overshot their last year.
Here's the deal. Jordan Love might end up following in the footsteps of Favre and Rodgers and just kind of take the baton seamlessly, and Green Bay can go another 10 years without having to worry about their quarterback. But we're kind of basing this off of a really good playoff game and then 8 regular season games. After the first 7 or 8 regular season games, he was throwing ground balls to his receivers. Now, in fairness, his receivers for some of those games were like the four of us and a lot of young guys. But I could see it. I just think that there's a lot of variance, right? Like with Dak, we don't know, but like I feel like the range with Dak is a lot more narrow in terms of the floor and the ceiling. I think with Jordan Love, it's about as wide as any quarterback in the league.
Well, the reason I say that is the odds. I like the odds.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right.
Just like going into the season, Bobby Witt Jr. and Gunnar Henderson, when we were in Vegas for the Super Bowl, I was like 20-1 on kind of Gunnar and Bobby Witt Jr. Yeah, it was like
three, for MVP.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was like 3-1 and 4-1 for Judge.
They're gonna lose.
And for Soto, I get
Judge
it.
Gets hurt, then maybe not.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I think Jordan Love, his odds are,
what are the odds?
15-1.
Okay, yeah.
So I think that's a good bet.
As opposed to Mahomes is like 4.5-1. Even Stroud's like 8-1.
Yeah, no, I. Through that lens, yeah, I wouldn't say it's bad at all. Obviously, it could flop, but I mean, you're not. That's part of the playing that line, right?
Yeah,
you're
sure.
I think for those odds, because if they win the division, then that would be a surprise, right? I think some people think Detroit. I mean, I think Detroit's the odds-on favorite, right?
It would be a surprise.
So if they were to win the division, which could very easily happen, you're going to get some credit. I was about to say you're going to get some love for that, but I didn't want to go that route. You're going to get some credit there. And if they win the division, they're probably not winning it because Josh Jacobs is rushing for 1,500 yards, right? And Jordan Love is taking the next step. I think from that standpoint, sure. If you are, like, I'm seeing people saying, oh, Green Bay is the best team in the NFC. Like, you know, they're like low key, like that's like the trendy
pick.
I don't know that I see that.
They feel like third at best to me. Like, just in terms of what it looks like on paper. Now, who the hell knows how it's going to play out?
I think a lot of people look at those 32 touchdowns from Love, too, and that excites them. You know, they're like, oh, he's done it before. He can do that, if not more, again.
We've talked about all kinds of stats regarding baseball with you. What do you think about, because it seems like defensive stats have been the hardest to, like, really narrow down. How do you feel about F4 defensive value? Do you feel like that's accurate-ish?
I think the way I kind of look at that stuff is it, for the most part, points you in the right direction.
Okay.
But if you're, like, if you break down whether it's B-War or F-War, which B is Baseball Reference, F is Fangraphs, it's nothing more complicated than that. They all have different formulas. If we were to, let's just forget the source, if your defensive contribution to WAR is 0.7 and Corey's is 0.8 and Mike's is 0.9, and Ruben's is 3.
Yeah.
I would say that what that tells me is, Ruben is clearly better. But does that mean that Mike is 1/10 of a point better defensively than Corey, who's one? I don't know, you know, that granularly. I don't know that it's refined enough.
I'm glad that you brought that up because these are big picture questions that I have for you. First of all, on the most improved defenders, and this is weird to me, F-War has Nathaniel Lowe tied for the 6th most improved defender. But they also said last year his score was a -7.8 when he won the Golden Glove.
Yeah.
That feels like that doesn't...
And I think that first base is a tricky one with the variance in positioning. A lot of the problems stem from the fact that teams position players with a lot of variance, right? Even with the rules, a first baseman, you know, against right-handed hitters, depending on who the runner, you know, could be far off the line. First base is an interesting one. I don't know how much scooping a ball, you know, comes into play because he won the Gold Glove last year. He actually decreased as his scoop percentage dropped, right? But his range, like range factor, stuff like that improved. I think that for some of the premium positions, it's a little more refined. The up-the-middle guys, I think the corner guys a little tougher.
Okay, let's talk about two of the up-the-middle guys because then per Fangraphs, second and third biggest drop-off in defense this year, Jonah Heim and Adolis Garcia. So I know we talk a lot about the offense, and I am not discounting what a huge factor that has been in this season, but do you feel like an undervalued part of this fall has been the fall in the defense?
So I would say that the outfield defense for sure.
Okay.
The infield defense, I look, not to oversimplify it, but what percentage of ground balls do you convert into outs? And the Rangers pretty much from day one have been first, second, third in baseball there. Jonah Heim, I asked about that. Now, Jonah's, I think, you know, it's obviously not about fielding ground balls or whatever, but a lot of his framing, stuff like that, that's down. And I asked about that, and the answer I got was, well, he's not necessarily a worse framer, but for whatever reason, the positioning that they believe is best is closer to the plate, which maybe lends to, you know, better results practically, but statistically hurts him in some regard in terms of the way that the data tracks how he receives pitches. Seems very complicated to me.
Did you get all that, Corey?
But there's no doubt that it doesn't feel like it's been last year's level of defense. Adolis, no question. Adolis had a really good 2-week stretch earlier this month defensively, but he just, whether it's throwing, the throws don't appear to be with as much juice and definitely not as much accuracy. The range, he just doesn't seem to be moving nearly as athletically.
Is he truly, I don't know how much you can tell me about this or not, is he truly a part of this team right now? Because there's rumblings about how he works out, how he gets ready for innings, and all this other stuff that makes you wonder if, like, the contract negotiation left a scar that has kind of not isolated, but maybe moved him away from the team a little bit.
Yeah, so my understanding just with the contract stuff is he did want, you know, I think last year he was like really pushing for a long-term extension, right? Well, didn't make sense. And I think my understanding is that his agent kind of explained, hey, Adolis, like that wouldn't necessarily be out there for you, right?
Yeah.
So not that he was ever a free agent. I think that the contract that they came to terms with, he was good with, right? Obviously, he wants more.
Sure.
But wasn't totally, you know, peeved by it. I think that for a lot of guys, I mean, we've seen it with Corey Seager. Corey Seager goes about his day-to-day routine very individually,
yeah.
Right? Not that he's not a team guy at all. I think, you know, fans got to look at that last year. But he doesn't need to, you know, play kumbaya to get ready to hit a baseball.
Sure.
And, I mean, who's been the best player on the team this year? Again, it's Corey Seager.
The non-kumbaya guy.
Yeah, and so, you know, Corey doesn't, like, it's not like Corey doesn't interact. Corey, they're playing cards, and, I mean, he's very much a part of the mix. Adolis, same thing. I'm not as familiar. Adolis does a lot of his stuff kind of behind the scenes.
Okay.
But, he does take batting practice on the field. I don't know. I will tell you this. I think that Adolis, I think that he, I'm trying to think of the right way to put this. I'm not trying to protect anything. I think that Adolis probably, whether he, you know, is happy with his contract situation or not, understands that this is his one chance to make a lot of money. Next year is his contract year, and is he playing through stuff so as to not, you know, hurt that value, but then maybe, you know, it's a fine line sometimes,
question.
Right? So I don't know. I just, Mike, I'm curious. We talked about this. Athletically, he just doesn't look like the same guy. He's not moving the way that he moved last year.
Well, specifically yesterday, he floated on that ball when he got hurt. Remember when he got hurt and then it was like, oh, no, we're not even going to make the playoffs. And Evan Carter came up and took his spot because he got hurt. He got hurt because he got back to the wall and tried to make a leaping play. He had plenty of time to get back to the wall yesterday. And if he gets back to the wall, he just stands and catches the ball. He doesn't even need to jump for that ball if he busts his butt back as soon as that ball is hit. Is that not moving well, or is that not just going back and going back to the ball? The other thing, too, is I do watch this, and I get to be here a lot. He probably plays catch 2 times during the game. 7 out of the 9 innings, he doesn't even pick up a baseball to play catch. So I don't know this. I didn't follow this last year or the year before. But when you're accurate, I'm assuming, just watch the 6 outfielders today in the game. I would say if you're at the game today, watch and see the other 5 outfielders. Are they playing catch in between every inning?
And Adolis is DHing, so you can see all 6.
Okay. So they're going to play catch. Whether it's 2 throws or 5 throws, they're going to play catch just in case they have to make a throw. I would think that would help on your accuracy of a throw. And this year he hasn't been as accurate on his throw. He's not bad at it, but he hasn't been as accurate with it. But he's also not playing catch in between innings.
So I'll tell you this. I don't know that there were 7 innings which he didn't play catch. There, last year, though, he would play catch from like the distance that we are. And make like 2 throws and then just run out to right field.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
But I would say the accuracy, I think so much of accuracy is lower half. And that's where I wonder if physically he is in the best shape. Best shape makes it sound like he's out of shape. I wonder if he's playing through something in the lower half that is impacting that.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that either.
Because
he's played all season, too, and the way he just, I mean, basically, when we talk to Boach, it's almost like a refusal. Hey, look, because they want to play. They want to be on the field. And maybe if that was the case and he gave himself the opportunity to rest and be healthy, we'd see a better version of him.
I don't count 2020. Like, that's a fake year to me. I can't use those stats. There's only 60 games. If I go back.
What about other things? Like, I got married that year. Can that still count?
No, I'll take that as real.
Yeah, Mike told me it's fake.
But
it's a fake year.
It's a fake certificate.
Jonah Heim, Leody Taveras, Adolis Garcia, and Marcus Semien. 2018, I can compare Semien to 2024 Semien. But if I go over their career, these are the worst years of their career by far. Now, last year, taking out Semien, Semien has had a better year than last year. Adolis, Heim, and Leody.
Semien has not had a better year than last year.
Well, I guess didn't he have 40-something home runs with the Toronto Blue Jays?
I'm confused.
Offensively.
You're saying that Semien this year is better than last year?
No, I'm saying these four guys. All right, I'll do it again.
Sorry, I was confused.
They're having all-time bad.
All-time bad.
Last year they were really good. This year they're really bad.
Career years last year for Garcia, Leo.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying last year wasn't Marcus's career year.
But Marcus had a great year.
He won a Silver Slugger.
Four guys, at least three for sure, went from having their career best year to now having their career worst year by far. So what do you do? I asked this to Bochy. What do you do as an evaluator? Bochy never saw these guys, play. He never managed these guys. So he's had them at their very best and their very worst.
So
what do you do with these guys when you're evaluating for next year? Is Haim anywhere close to 2023 in 2025, or is he anywhere close to 2024 when we go to next year? Like, how do you evaluate these guys when they are giving you their very best and their very worst?
So it's a great question, right? Here's what I would say with Jonah. Jonah's 2024 kind of similar to 2022, right? Offensively.
Yeah.
That's 2 out of 3 years. Marcus is 2024. Is similar to his 2022 offensively. It's 2 out of 3 years. So I'm not saying that means that that's who they are, but I think that also makes it with Jonah. You know, Jonah did not. The reason why the Rangers were able to get Jonah from Oakland was because there was never any thought he would be what he was last year offensively. Maybe that was a pop year, right? You know, and hey, he's played a lot. You know, the Rangers really leaned on him last year, and they were doing it this year up until the last couple weeks. I think with Jonah, just you got to be prepared that he's not going to be like
he's 50-50 guy. You need another catcher to catch it.
Yes, 100%. And I think that will make him better, right? I think he will be better playing a little bit less physically. Marcus, to me, is the big one because 2 out of the last 3 years, he's 110% an everyday player, right? We're not making that argument. And he's a gold glove second baseman. He's been unbelievable defensively. But where, like, when you go into the offseason, I'll ask you, Mike, I'm curious y'all's thoughts. If you were to go into the offseason and say, all right, hey, here are the guys we have under control. Let's kind of place them.
Yeah.
Marcus Semien bats where? And it's fluid, right? When spring training rolls around. But, like, what do you think of him as?
Six.
I would want him to bat seven. Fifth or sixth.
I was going to say fifth, yeah.
Right, but not necessarily one, no. Two, or three, right?
Right.
And I think that's kind of where they've got to be.
As long as I have a really good one, two, or three guy that can be better
right.
than that. Yeah.
And I think the goal is that you build a lineup, build a roster where maybe you can put Marcus in that five or six spot and feel good about it, right? And maybe he turns it around. But, you know, he's another guy. He's not getting any younger, and he busts his tail. And he does everything he can to take care of his body. But at some point, Father Time's going to catch up. And I think you want to protect against that. That's a guy I'd like to see take 10 days off next year just to keep the body fresh. I just think there's so much value in that.
I know it's early, or he hasn't been here that long, but you don't have that much time to judge. Carson Kelly, when you were talking about Jonah Haim going 50-50, what have you thought about Carson Kelly thus far, and would he be a good fit for that other 50?
I would love that. I'm curious, you know, he's going to be a free agent, what sort of money he'd command, because his defensive numbers are actually pretty good, and his offensive numbers, especially for a catcher, are really good. It's interesting that the Rangers just played someone in their division, right? Who did we just play? Who just left?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. I was talking to
Minnesota's not in our division.
No, they're in Detroit's division. Sorry. So they saw a lot of Carson Kelly. And I was asking Jace Tingler, who's with Minnesota, obviously spent a lot of time with the Rangers, what he saw from Carson Kelly. And he's seen him the last few years, and he said that he's made a clear swing adjustment, which is consistent with what we've heard. And so a lot of their scouting reports on Carson Kelly have totally changed. Because I always wonder, a guy like that having the year he's having, is it a fluke? You know, how do you – and you can never know for sure, but there is a tangible change he's made mechanically that's allowing him to better attack areas that were weaknesses, right? Those are things that I think are important to understand. And, I'd love to pair those two. I think that'd be a great combo.
Go ahead.
Well, I know the next time that we talk to you, the Rangers might have put – 5 pitchers on waivers. Do you think that as they're done, trying to make the playoffs, this is now next week to me is a huge week on the future of the Texas Rangers. Where maybe you hearing about your Evaldi, your Heaney, your Yates, your Robertson? Like, could they really just release these guys and let them just go to other teams to finish the year?
So they could, but here's the here's where, you know, I'm not looking at the books, right? I'm relying on Evan Grant reporting this, and I know that earlier that day he was having conversations, I noticed, with a few front office people, and so I'm assuming that, you know, they kind of broke it down for him. If you were to release or waive those guys and they got claimed, right, that's the key. They'd have to get claimed. Otherwise, you'd still be responsible financially. You would be able to save up to $12 million for the rest of the year. That would not be enough to change the Rangers' tax bracket going into the offseason. So when the Angels did it last year, yeah, you know, I mean, they were taking advantage of the rules. The rules need to be reconsidered, maybe. But they did it to lower their tax bracket, thus preventing them from incurring certain penalties, which, you know, get too in the weeds on. My understanding is that all the guys who are free agents, right, so you're not now putting yourself in a position to lose guys who you have under control, you would only drop $12 million. So that wouldn't be enough. Now, could they do that and then add in a guy who is under control beyond this year because they're like, all right, it's more important for us to get into a lower tax bracket? Then, I mean, I guess. But if it's just the Evaldis, the Heaneys, what have you, it would only be, my understanding, is $12
million. Last thing I have for you, Rocker is scheduled for tonight, and then DeGrom, then Scherzer for AA.
Yeah, can we broadcast the Frisco game?
Yeah, this feels like one of the greatest trios of minor league pitchers ever.
Hey, the Rough Riders are going to eat really well on Thursday and Friday with DeGrom and Scherzer going down there to take care of them, huh? Some pretty good meals. Yeah, that'll be fun. You know, I don't think Kumar Rocker is going to be up here. We talked about, you know, he'd then have to prematurely take a 40-man spot. But I think we'll see, obviously, DeGrom in early September, and then Scherzer, I think, next week, perhaps, in Chicago against the White Sox.
Thank you very much, good sir. Always a wealth of information. Jared Sandler, you've got Rangers, you got Pirates coming up at 1:35. Pregame's coming at you at 1 o'clock. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Hopefully, you've enjoyed our show today. Make your way back with us tomorrow. It'll be a full show from Specs Office Central, 10 to 2, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.